You've heard about the Earth's atmosphere and probably its biosphere. Well, today, for our GeoQuiz, we're looking for a different sphere. This one is the collective name of all the coldest parts of the planet. Antarctica, of course, is generally the coldest continent, but the scientific term we're looking for includes all of the frozen parts of the Earth. That includes the Arctic ice cap and Greenland's ice sheet, along with all the planet's snow, glaciers, even icebergs. A new report out this week documents just how fast the Arctic and Greenland are changing as the planet warms up. That could mean a lot higher sea levels than previously anticipated. We're going to talk with one of the study's authors in a few minutes. First, though, come up with a scientific name for all of our planet's frozen parts. I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Our global hit's on the way. Right now, though, the answer to our GeoQuiz, this one today about the frozen regions of the Earth. Together, they're known as the cryosphere. The cryosphere is the answer. And it's something that's morphing. It's morphing fast as climate change causes the Earth to warm. Now a group of scientists from the 8 countries that share the Arctic have published a new assessment of just how fast that part of the cryosphere is changing. Walt Meyer is one of those scientists. He is at the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center, and he's now at a meeting of these scientists in Denmark this week. Your report says the ice of Greenland and the rest of the Arctic is melting a lot faster than expected. How much faster?
It's about double to triple the rate of what we saw about 2007 when the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report came out. At that time, Greenland was just starting to act a little strange. Things were happening that hadn't been anticipated. The ice sheet was moving a lot faster. The outlet glaciers were moving a lot faster. And so now the estimates are about 3 to 5 feet compared to about 1 to 1.5 feet.
Which is pretty sobering, saying that global sea levels could rise 3 to 5 feet by the end of this century from snow and ice melt alone.
That's correct. You know, that's a big change. It may not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but a lot of areas, you know, coastal cities, there's a lot of people that live within 3 to 5 feet of sea level rise.
Within less than 100 years, and what specific places would be affected first?
Well, low-lying areas, coastal areas, Bangladesh, for example, has a very low coastline. Coastal cities, New York City, Miami in particular, are very vulnerable. New Orleans, because we're talking about the sea level, the mean sea level rise, it could be higher in some places. It's not going to be exactly the same everywhere around the globe. So some places will be even higher. Islands in the Pacific that are not much above sea level will be threatened. And any areas where there's storm surges and high tides are going to be even more threatened.
How do you know this? Because it was just over 4 years ago that, as you said, the world's leading authority on climate change, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, projected. What do we know now that we didn't know then?
In the past, we really didn't have very much data on exactly how the ice sheets were moving and how they were losing mass by the ice streams kind of flowing downhill and calving off into the ocean. Now we have a lot more data. There's new satellites that are giving us a much broader, much bigger, much more detailed picture of what's going on in Greenland and Antarctica. And basically what those satellites are telling us is that we really underestimated some of these processes.
Is this visible, this loss of mass?
It certainly is. If you look at satellite photos, there's, for example, the Jakobshavn Glacier in Greenland. There's been a series of satellite images taken over the last several years, and it's retreated over 15 miles. And that's a really dramatic retreat of a glacier. These things are kind of big lumbering giants. They don't generally lose mass and retreat that fast. So things are happening very quickly.
When we talk about the cryosphere in general, we're talking about glaciers and permafrost and frozen rivers and sea ice and ice caps, basically anything that is frozen for part or all of the year. One other complicating factor is something called a feedback loop in the cryosphere that could be speeding up the melting process. What are feedback loops?
Feedback loops are essentially where you have one thing happens and then it triggers something else to happen, which then feeds back to the original cause. And unfortunately, in the cryosphere, for example, for sea ice, the ice that's frozen in the ocean, as you raise temperatures, you start to lose some of the sea ice. That exposes the ocean that absorbs a lot more of the sun's energy, which heats the ocean and then melts even more sea ice. And you get into this cycle of a small change in temperature, which would normally have just a small change in loss of the ice, feeds back into itself and magnifies that, and you start losing more and more ice. And that's what we've actually been seeing over the last several years.
Is this a closed case? Because we're always hearing that once you have this kind of evidence, once you're seeing what's happening, it's too late to put it in reverse. Is that the case here?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's a closed case in terms of what we're seeing, you know, happening. There's still uncertainties exactly, you know, like I said, 3 to 5 feet. It could be more, it could be a little bit less. We're honing in on that slowly but surely. But whether it's too late or not, I think that's still an open question. We're certainly approaching what you might call like the point of no return, because, you know, there's going to be more melting to come, even if temperatures were to stabilize, because the Greenland ice sheets in Antarctic ice sheets in particular are big lumbering giants. They respond rather slowly, but once they respond, it's very difficult to turn them around. They're like they're kind of like the Titanic heading for an iceberg. If you see the iceberg too late, you can't turn away.
So for the 8 countries of the Arctic Council, then what do they do with this information?
Well, I think it's definitely a warning that the Arctic is changing very quickly, more quickly than we had previously thought, and that if action isn't taken, the consequences are going to continue to grow over the next decades and centuries.
If there was one particular action that could be taken by, of course, this is a global issue, but let's say even by the 8 countries of the Arctic Council, what would it be?
I think the main thing that could make a difference right now that could happen fairly quickly and that would have a fairly immediate effect is to reduce what we call short-lived climate forcings. And this is soot, aerosols, black carbon. These are things that get deposited on the ice that really enhance the melt. And they come from things like burning of forests, burning of crops, automobile emissions, coal burning emissions, and those are all things that could be brought under control or cleaned up at the very least a significant amount fairly easily and fairly quickly.
Walt Meyer is a co-author of a new report predicting that global sea levels could rise by as much as 5 feet this century. Walter Meyer, thank you very much.
Thank you.